Hello and welcome back to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on today's episode. Joining me from the Creative Control team, the usual faces, we have Sasha, Neil, and Lee. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Doing very well, sir. How are
you? Well, thank you.
Yep, all good.
Good to hear. Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you. I am doing very well. So what are we here today to discuss? We are here today to talk about Doctor Doom and the Fantastic Four. So obviously, in the last week or so, last couple of weeks by the time this airs, we would have had our official casting from Marvel, which was released on Valentine's Day, of the official cast of Fantastic Four movie, which is going to be released in July 2025. Only a couple of weeks separates it from that and Superman. So we got to thinking, you know, who else are we going to cast? So this is kind of a throwback to, this was like our second episode, I think, when we did this about 3 years ago. We talked about casting the Fantastic Four and how we'd introduce them into the MCU. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's, you know, casting, I'm sure the ideas have changed in terms of some of the villains and stuff like that, because 3 years later, different actors are coming about. Different roles might have triggered some imagination from us in terms of what they can play. So we'll kind of go through that. And then we'll also talk about some of the other Fantastic Four characters and villains that we might want to see in the movie and who we'd kind of pitch for those. So, yeah, this is all about, if we had creative control of Marvel, who would we cast as Doctor Doom and the Fantastic Four villains and additional characters? All right. Just before we head into that, so I just want to say thank you very much for being here. We appreciate you either watching or listening. If you haven't already, please make sure you head over to our YouTube channel where you can check out the video version of this podcast and you click that subscribe button and the like, and make sure you hit that bell to get notified of our new episodes whenever they drop. You can also catch the video version of this on Spotify, and you can catch the audio version of this podcast on any major podcast platform. We're on Apple, Good Pods, Audible, everywhere. But thank you very much for being here. So, gentlemen, let's first of all talk about the official casting, okay, and get your thoughts on that. Let's just start with potentially the one that's, well, there's kind of two which I've seen online which has caused the most debate. So we'll start with the first one, and that is Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, being cast Pedro Pascal. Lee, I'm going to come over to you first. What's your thoughts on the casting of Pedro Pascal?
Well, I was obviously after the Doctor Strange film, I was thought it was going to be John Krasinski. So I was all down for that. And I think most of us on a previous podcast, this, we were all sort of gunning for him. I don't know quite what's happened there, why they've, you know, he's not continuing with that. But yeah,
I think the John Krasinski thing was very much a in the moment thing. So Doctor Strange 2 was filmed during COVID, and I think, and a lot of the performances were motion captured separately, so not a lot of the actors were together filming their scenes. And I think they basically reached out to him because, like, we got this idea for Reed Richards, are you available? And he probably did a couple of days filming max. I think at the time it was very much a case of, we're looking at this as one and done, maybe something might happen in the future depending when they figured when they're going to do this movie. I think John Krasinski, at his age and with the skill set and the sort of like catalogue he's got under his belt now, he probably doesn't feel he needs this franchise and this, because he wants to do more about his own films and directing. Because obviously he's done A Quiet Place Part 1 and Part 2. He's directing the new movie If with Ryan Reynolds about the imaginary friends. So I think he wants to be behind the camera a little bit more these days. And he probably just doesn't want to tie himself into this, which would be probably a three, at least five picture deal. And so I think he just thought, yeah, I'm not at the point in my career where I commit to that now. So, and because Marvel, I think what happened with No Way Home, that really allowed different actors to play different parts. Because you had your Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. Spider-Man didn't have to look the same in every universe. They tried to give us that with Kang. That's probably one of their big mistakes, actually, was doing that post-credit scene with Krang as Kang the Conqueror with Jonathan Majors, to saying like every version of him is him. It's like he didn't need to be that. So yeah. I think now it's just a case of, you know what, anybody could be anybody in any universe. And I think, yeah, John Krasinski at the time was probably just a one and done, see how it goes. And I think it's more of a case of, it's not something that he's probably wanted to do, rather than maybe Marvel not wanting him to continue. That's just my thoughts.
Interestingly,
unless he said you had.
So I was going to say, interestingly enough, it wasn't going to be John Krasinski in that scene.
Oh, was it not?
It was going to be Daniel Craig.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I didn't hear that one. COVID,
he couldn't fulfill that. It was like, you know, he couldn't fulfill that part due to COVID. Mm-hmm. So they were like, oh, okay. Let's.
Fan favorite. Yeah, fan casting. Mm-hmm. Right. Interesting. Wow. Okay. Neil with some breaking news.
I think Pedro Pascal at the moment, everything he touches is gold, isn't it? So hopefully he'll mm-hmm. just take to this role and it'll be brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy with it.
All right, cool. Neil, Pedro Pascal.
Oh, yes, he was not my guy. He's still not my guy.
Because those of you who watch the show or don't watch the show, maybe it's your first time, maybe repeat you, Fantastic Four is very close to Neil's heart. I think they are probably your favorite comic book characters, yep. right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we always knew this was going to be a hot topic for Neil. This is where it's coming from. So Neil will all have thoughts on everything.
Yeah, he is a fantastic actor. And I would never say he's not a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never say that he, like... You know, it's you can be a fantastic actor and be wrong for a role.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be an average actor and be like absolutely inch perfect for a role.
Yeah. I get that.
And I just everything about him just doesn't scream Reed Richards to me. I have a very clear picture in my head of the type of person, the type of actor who is a Reed Richards type actor.
Have you got a couple of examples of who you would have had?
I mean, look, my absolute for all time, my absolute number one pick would have been in the 90s, it would have been Tim Robbins.
Right, okay.
Another human on planet Earth who would have been a better Reed Richards than Tim Robbins in the 90s, right?
What about Richard Gere?
Nah. He'd be trying to make Reed too cool, too suave. And I'm like, nah.
I can see that. Right? Well, he could play geeky as well.
Right.
Would have got the box office, that's for sure.
But that's the thing. Is like, I'd like, you know, to me, Reed Richards is like, you can... Reed Richards is not a quote-unquote sex symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be like... buff or muscular or any, he's supposed to be a guy who's just in average shape. He's a scientist. He is the kind of guy who would forget his own birthday because he's in the middle of an experiment.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, in my envisioning of Reed Richards, I just, for every performance I've ever seen Pedro Pascal give, I've not seen every single thing he's in.
Mm-hmm.
But for everything I have seen that he's in, he doesn't come across to me as he's going to be able to pull off that read.
Okay.
He's going to be like, you know, like he's going to be the sexier read. He's going to be the more everyman read. He's going to be the more like... you know, the Reed you'd want to be friends with kind of Reed, not the Reed that, like, you know, got tow off and whooped up in school for being, you know, like for burning down the science lab, right? Mm-hmm. He's not that Reed.
Ironically, Miles Teller's probably a better age now to be cast as Reed Richards than he was the last time.
Yeah, and the thing is, even with that, I mean, it's like, at the time, Miles Teller wasn't the sex symbol he is now. But even then, I was like, you're too polished, too good looking, right? I need the kind of slender, a little bit more angular kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He must have done something in casting.
Do you think he actually screen read for this? Do you think he screen tested? Or do you think Marvel just went out and say, we want this guy to lead... this movie and potentially, you know, the Avengers moving forward.
I think it was a case of, I don't think Marvel...
Hold on.
Yeah, I don't think Marvel have the pocketbook they once had due to what's going on at Disney and how the films have been performing and stuff. I hear it's not a $200 million movie. I hear it's a little less to be a little bit more reserved. So they haven't gone for top tier A-listers for the movie. There probably will be for the villain, but not for the Fantastic Four themselves. That's why they've gone for TV actors mainly, because they're keeping the budget. They're keeping the budget down. So when you look at TV actors and you look at who's upcoming and who's best of the best, Pedro Pascal, he's the household name out of every TV every hot TV actor in at the moment. You know what I mean? You look at him, you think Last of Us, you think Mandalorian. I'm not looking at this as a fanboy point of view. I'm looking at this from a studio point of view where it's like, okay, we need a headliner. Who's the headliner? Okay, here's your budget. But if we're getting an A-lister, who are these guys? You know what I mean? So that might have been the mentality there. I don't know. But
I think that's definitely plays a part into it for sure. I think you're good, you're right there. Yeah. Because if you've got a certain type of actor, they could command $20, $25 million for a movie. Pedro is probably someone who could maybe command five. Do you know what I mean? So it's a little bit more relative. And, but I think the other fact is when you're introducing four new characters to the MCU, you also don't want them too familiar with the audience in a sense, because you want them to take on those roles and that role be what they're known for. You know what I mean? So Chris Evans. It's not like they didn't do stuff before, but they weren't your top A-listers who were like, you know, who we go for. Obviously, they started picking more A-listers as the franchise got bigger and bigger for certain roles. But I think when you're casting four key characters, they have to be a certain age. Because in theory, you're going to want the Fantastic Four around for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
As well, I think.
But that's why they have to get this right.
Yeah, I think it was
It's failed before. And these characters are going to be around for, like you say, for a while. So they need to get it right.
Yeah.
Well, I think regarding like films failing, I think when it comes to the MCU, we can't ever look at like, oh, this tried and failed before. Because like whether it's Fantastic Four, whether it's Spider-Man, whether it's whichever character we could think of or name, the second you're MCU'd, you are like past sins are erased, because people are now, if you have brand recognition like a Spider-Man or something, it's cool, you're being brought in with ease. However, I think if you're no one's gonna be like, oh, I wonder if Spider-Man's gonna be any good because Amazing Spider-Man wasn't well received, or because Spider-Man 3 wasn't well received. They're gonna look at it and be like, no, it's Spider-Man alongside Captain America, alongside Iron Man. And now it's gonna be, you know, it's whoever this character is that you know and love alongside the MCU. Right, it's, you know, you could be a failing property, and the second you get that MCU battery pack, it's like you know, for like football terms, it's like signing for Real Madrid.
However
good or bad you were at your previous team means nothing now. You're in the big league now. So there's that. But regarding what you said about auditioning, I'll be honest, I don't think Pedro Pascal's had to audition in about 5 years, maybe 10, right? I think once you reach a certain point, you're not auditioning anymore. It's the casting director has a list of people who they're like, I'm thinking this, and this. And like Sasha said, I think he's probably hit top of that list for people who could pull off the role, who could fit the money, and who could bring credibility to the position, to the film.
And you sometimes know, you just gotta take who's hot at the moment, and he's hot property.
But I mean, I don't think it's a thing of taking the hot property, because like, you know, when Star-Lord was cast, like at the moment he was cast, he was still a little the chubby guy from Parks and Recreation.
I think then, MCU now is more reliant on that type of approach than what they were before, because they've had some failings, because there's been discontent, because it's split opinion. I think they are more now at the point where we need a bit more of a headliner and somebody who is of a popular demographic at the moment, rather than somebody who is a little bit more unknown. And like you say, they can grab him and then like you know, Joseph Quinn and Ebon Moss-Bachra, they are the lesser, and that's fine. But they needed that, like Sasha said, that top tier to lead it moving forward. Sasha, what's your thoughts on Pedro?
Well, let me get the screen so I can see you guys and do this. This is my thoughts on Pedro.
Sasha's got this thing about his Sasha beard.
He'll be great. He'll be great. That's all I want to see from Pedro. That's all I want to see from Pedro. But aside from my misgiving about the Tash, I've seen him without a Tash. He's a beautiful human being. He looks the part without the Tash. There's no reason why he can't be.
I don't know, man. I look at him in Wonder Woman 84 and I'm just like, I don't want that Pedro.
I want that Pedro. It's called acting. It's called acting. If you see him with short hair and stuff, how he used to roll in the OOs, that's the guy. That's the guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's his token thing for sure, because you know it's what he's been doing lately. He's more comfortable with it. But bro, shave the Tash, we're all good. Don't shave the Tash. It's best be a damn good movie. That's all I'm gonna say. Because like Lee said earlier, they got a lot to prove and a lot riding on this movie. It's not the end of the MCU, it's the end of the Fantastic Four if this flops. Because after 4 decades, we've had literally 4 decades in a row. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've had an iteration of the Fantastic Four, and they have all failed. They've all failed. Like every single one of them has failed. The only one that came close to being a success was the Tim Story original. And I don't know why they didn't do a number 3, because even though they may not have been my cup of tea, they were definitely Neil's cup of tea for sure. Because I remember when that movie came out, he was like, oh my God, that movie. Yeah, I mean, like that's when I first met Neil. When that got released, you know, and I told him I went to the premiere of that film, and I remember watching that film and looking at Tim Story and we like, you effed it. but superhero movies back then aren't what they are now. So hopefully fourth time's a charm, but we will see. There's a lot riding on it. So
yeah, I say,
look, I know some people are pro, hey, it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Look, I just want the naysayers to hush the fuck up about man's race, okay? Because I'm saying it as it is. People are like, oh, it's Latino. It's like, shut up, man. You guys didn't have a problem when you were jerking off to Jessica Alba in the OOs. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. Me and Ken were at the movie premiere off.
Sorry, I was going to say jerking off then.
I totally was. I'll straight up admit that. I found the nerves. I'm busting out because I'm telling you what, she's hella fine, okay? Jessica Alba in the flesh, hella fine. No picture does her justice. I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you. That premiere, I swear I saw my future wife, man, but then it wasn't meant to be.
Circumstance. Just circumstance. Yeah, that's it. But Pedro Pascal, for me, I think he is, he's a great actor. In terms of Game of Thrones, Narcos, great. So I think that, and he does have the fun side to him as well, which you've seen in like the Kingsman, Kingsman 2. So yeah, for me, he's a fine choice. But again, not one that I'd imagined. But seeing it, I'm fine with it. I'm not upset about it. I'm not upset with any of these.
I actually got a list of who I would have thought would have been good.
Yeah, go on. Let's go through those quickly.
Obviously, John Kransky, obviously.
Yeah, but John Krasinski. You know what? Yeah.
Because Marvel were in the realm of multiversing and stuff. Like you said earlier, Miles Teller was good in that Fantastic Four movie, and he looks more like the part now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now he's a better age to do it. He's 37 now.
Yeah, and he's a much better actor, So, not that he was bad before, because he was like, he fucking owned it in Chronicle, which got him the part in the first place. So, another person I would have thought, maybe Matt Bomer.
Matt Bomer, yeah.
So, that, those were mine out of the current crop of fan four. But again, like Neil said, none of these guys are geeky enough to be Reed. You know what I mean? Like, if this was the OOs or the 90s, I would have said other actors and stuff. But he's right. You're looking for someone that's not muscle bound. And, that's what made the guy in the original film, in the OOs, really good. What was that guy
called? Ian Guthrie.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah. He was great. He was fantastic, man. Mm-hmm. So that's what made him good. Teller was good, but because they were obviously casting a younger version.
Yeah.
And they were hot on the money there. So, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's my Mr. Fantastic.
Okay.
I've got everyone else, but I'll...
Yeah, let's just move on to Johnny Storm then. So Joseph Quinn, mainly from Stranger Things fame, mm-hmm. he's been cast as Johnny Storm. And he's the other one that people have not been as pleased on social media mm-hmm. for his choice of her being in it. But he has got he's got some stuff coming up. He's in Gladiator 2, mm-hmm. which is coming out soon. And I'm just gonna have a quick look here, because he's actually kind of hot property coming up. So by the time the film comes out, so upcoming projects, he's in A Quiet Place Day One, which is out mm-hmm. this year, and then Gladiator 2, and then another project called Relapse. So, you know, again, he's got a lot of stuff coming up, and by the time Fantastic Four rolls around, he's going to be a little bit more of a household name. But what are your thoughts on Joseph?
He's got
Quinn?
A huge following from Stranger Things.
Yeah, definitely huge. Has, yeah.
I mean,
he was a really loved character in that.
With him, straight off the bat, he was not my first choice at all. Wasn't even on the list. But and I've only ever seen him in Stranger Things. If I'm just going by the Stranger Things character, like the whole world is, of course that's not Johnny Storm and that's not the guy. But this is acting, kids, and whatever he brought to the audition, because this is a role. Obviously, we said Pedro Pascal.
Joseph
Quinn would have auditioned. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely audition.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy would have had to audition and had like a screening test with other actors and stuff to see how his chemistry is with the rest of the cast. And definitely for sure, you know, they must have seen something in that audition that was like, he is the guy. Now, we can judge all we want based on his performance off of one TV show, which I think is really terrible, and you shouldn't.
It's a little
really
ridiculous.
Do that. Exactly. Just, you know, look, we've got like 2 years before the film comes out, maybe, and like you know, in that time he would have been in other stuff, so we would have been able to see his range. If you're saying he's in Gladiator 2, well, he's not going to be the same guy with heavy metal and Metallica for Gladiator 2. He's got that's a whole different role. So we'll be able to see how versatile he is if Ridley Scott like handpicked him, because that's what Ridley Scott does. He handpicks with his casting directors.
He picks strong talent.
Picks strong talent. So, you know, if anything, that should give you more faith that he is versatile and could bring something to the role of Johnny Storm. Was he my first pick? Hell no. I had the other two guys from Stranger Things. I had Joe Carey, who plays, you know, the boyfriend. Steve.
Steve.
There we go. He would have been good. But you know who would have been better? The bully jock guy from season 5, Mason Dye. That's totally Johnny Storm, hot head. You know what I mean? And the thing is with that character, he wasn't like a bully per se. He just, from his point of view, he thought he was doing the right thing, but the right thing was the wrong thing, you know what I mean? So but he definitely had the hot head, he had the look. Because ideally, look, the perfect guy for Johnny Storm is aged out now, and that would have been Zac Efron. They could have had Zac Efron in Fan 4 Stick, and they didn't. So, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. You know, guy's too old.
I had, I don't know if it's Darcy or Dark Gray Montgomery.
Darcy?
Pronounced as Darcy? So, Darcy Montgomery. So he was in the Stranger Things, the first season. He was the
Mac
again,
brother.
But
third season. Billy.
And he was the brother who ended up being possessed and stuff like that. He had the cheeky charm, you know, when he's seducing the housewives and that kind of stuff. And then he was in Elvis recently. In Elvis recently, and I thought he was really good in that. He was in Power Rangers. He was a Red Ranger in Power Rangers. So, you know, I thought for him that he was probably one of my choices. But again, Joseph Quinn, I can't be angry with it, because again, there's nothing to show that he can't do it. And let's be honest, as much as Marvel projects, whether you like them or hate them, when it comes to casting, they rarely get it wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I've got to have some faith in him for that. Neil, who did you have for Johnny Storm?
Well, like you had Darcy Montgomery, I had Joe Carey. when we were going through it, another name that I was looking at was Alexander Ludwig.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
He's in Hunger Games. He's in Bad Boys for Life. Like, if you see his face, you instantly recognize him. He's literally just all American hunk.
Okay, yes.
Right? You look at him and you're like, yep, yeah, I could see you throwing a football. I could see you banging two cheerleaders at a time. You are.
So is he the one from Vikings? Is he the one from Vikings?
I haven't seen Vikings. But I know he's in, okay. Good, right? But I know, and the thing is, when I see him in Bad Boys, I was like, yeah, you big boy. You big and strong. Yeah? I was like, a couple girls who would hug you and not let go. So I was like, someone like that,
mm-hmm.
who is just like, yeah, looks good. It's like you, because the thing is, I think maybe I'm too close to it because I'm just like, I'm envisioning the characters based off their personalities. And I'm just like, Johnny Storm is a ladies' man. He is a young, but Johnny Storm is the guy who would be like, right, if Fantastic Four came out today and was set today, Johnny Storm would be the most famous Instagram star. He'd be Logan Paul, right? Mm-hmm. That level of like of type personality.
Yeah.
Joseph Quinn, because like every other than Stranger Things, anything I've ever seen him in is literally been like, oh, one episode, one tiny little bit here, one tiny little bit there. So he's not a well-known person, but at the same time, I'm not mad at it because whilst Eddie is not indicative of being like Johnny Storm, kind of is. Because Johnny is a rebel rouser. He's a leader of a leader of not weak minded, but people gravitate towards him, and you can see that in Stranger Things, people gravitated towards the character of Eddie,
and the audience did, which is pretty much why they're going to bring him back,
right? And I'm like, people gravitated towards him and towards his character. You know, I'm telling you, that Hellfire t-shirt, which I have, right? I'm telling you, that wouldn't have sold as well as it did if it was just the main cast wearing it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's Eddie with the whole, all of that.
Yeah.
That is what drew people in, right?
Yeah.
Joseph Quinn, he can definitely pull it off, right?
Yeah, let's see what he brings.
He's like 2 years younger than Alexander Ludwig. Joseph Quinn's born in 94 and Quinn's born in 92. So,
Lee, Joseph Quinn, any thoughts?
I'm happy with that. I've only really seen him in Stranger Things, but. From what I get from his own personality, to be honest, I've seen him in some interviews and everything, and I do think from his own personality that he could probably pull it off.
Yeah, that's a good shout. If you actually refer to his quite, more natural character,
confident, and I think he
charismatic. He is quite charismatic. Let's touch on the other two because I think these are more been the acceptable in a large degree. Vanessa Kirby is Sue Storm. She was definitely one of my picks. I think that's a really solid casting. She's got a lot of projects under her belt at this point, and I think she's ready for this kind of role and that kind of balance. The only thing, she's quite a bit younger than Pedro Pascal. It's like 13 years age gap.
That's fine.
I think that's fine because of the comics, right?
That's comic appropriate.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So good. All right. Just want to clarify it. Thank you, Neil.
Pedro Pascal's complained.
No, I think he'll be fine. He'll grin and bear it. And then we've got Ebon Moss, Bacharach, Ben Grimm, The Thing. For me, solid casting. He was in the Punisher TV series. That's going to be kind of forgotten in the larger the MCU kind of thing. But he is just fantastic in The Bear, just brilliant. And from that, I can see he's going to be excellent in this. He can have the anger about him, the passion and that kind of stuff, and then he can also show the caring, the gentle side, and I think he's going to have a real balance. And for me, he's probably going to be the end up being the MVP of the movie. I can see that he's going to steal the show personally. Lee, the last two choices, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Vanessa Kirby, yeah, I think she suits the role. Sorry, what's the guy's name?
Ebon,
yeah, from The Bear. I mean, I've seen The Bear, and like you agree, totally agree. Yeah, he's brilliant in that. And the way he can change, and yeah, he's got a lot of passion. Like you say, he's got the anger and the caring side. So yeah, no, I'm happy with those two as well.
Okay. Sasha, last two pieces of casting?
They're fine. They're fine. Again, not on my top list. I think Vanessa Kirby's a great actor, but when I look at her, she's too hot for an Invisible Woman. I know that's coming off of Jessica Alba, who was way too hot to play Invisible Woman. All right. I think they got it right with Fams Forsvik, the actress that played her. She was more closer to how I always pictured Sue Storm kind of thing. This is just me, Neil. Okay. Which is why my first choice was Rhea Seahorn from Better Call Saul. So she would have been my first choice.
Fantastic actress, yeah.
Yeah. Emily Blunt as well, like everybody else on the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, Emily Blunt as well. And funnily enough, Charlize Theron. Well, obviously, they've saved her for Doctor Strange for later on down the line. But those would have been my top three, to be honest. But yeah, as for The Thing, look, it's no big secret who I would have cast as The Thing, regardless of how old the motherfucker was. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bruce fucking Willis, man. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I could just picture it. Okay. Neil's probably like, what? But I'm being serious, man. You needed someone with heart that could be like, you know, funny. John McClane is all of that, those things, man. And it's clobbering time. Okay, that's a line you could really get out of Willis himself. But would it have happened? Hell no. But I tell you what, during the making of the original Fantastic Four, they were very hell-bent on signing Willis up for that role. And it just wasn't meant to be, because it was a flat no. He was like, I got to wear a what now? And I was just like, with CGI the way it is now, yeah, I mean, if he didn't have the dementia thing going on, if this was before the straight-to-video shit, it's like, dude, like, that's fine. It's all mocap, man. You're just a voice. You know what I mean? We just need to scan your face so you could give the glare. You know what I mean? That Bruce Willis glare, you know? But otherwise, I would have picked, you know, if it was like back in the day, I would have picked someone like Michael Madsen. But then I think the best thing that we've had so far is the Michael Chiklis one. To be honest. But in terms of modern day right now, hang on, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Liev Schreiber, I reckon.
Yeah.
Liev Schreiber and...
Are you thinking of in terms of voice and mocap as opposed to the human element of him? Because obviously, from a human element, he's way too old. Oh, well, I suppose not. He's more Petro's age.
They're friends. So no, not at all.
Okay, is Johnny Storm supposed to be
Johnny? Isn't Storm Johnny's younger?
The thing, Ben Grimm.
No, he's saying
Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking Johnny Storm in terms of because he's obviously younger than Sue Storm in the comics and series as well. So yeah, okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that would have made sense because you're going Pascal, that little bit older. It could have worked. Okay.
Plus, Bruce was bald, man. So, you know, people stopped trying to cherry pick his age ages ago. But now he has dementia, so that ship has sailed.
Okay, Neil, what are your thoughts on the last two castings?
Vanessa Kirby, inch perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think she is like where you say like she's too hot. I think that's the whole point. I think Sue is the thing with Sue is you're supposed to be disarmed by the fact that she is absolutely hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, hold on, but wait, she's absolutely hot, but she's like a scientist and actually this supremely intelligent. It'd be like, you know, it's t- to me, it's like it'd be the equivalent of trying to find out that Kim Kardashian has like a doctorate in like particle science. You'd be like, what?
Mm-hmm. I guess I never got the hotness with Sue Storm. I guess it was always kind of like she was kind of because she was older, significantly older than Johnny. It was just kind of like she was always like the mother figure. You know what I mean? And she is to the group. She is to the group in general.
Yeah, she's
the mother. But never once reading those comics and even watching the cartoons, I never saw her as like, oh, she's the hot chick. Do you know what I mean? Because she's never been played that way in other media. The only time she's been played that way is because of the Jessica Alba interpretation. And even then, I was like, I like myself some Jessica Alba, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
Weirdly enough,
is she? You know what I mean? Like, let's cast Pamela Anderson as Invisible Woman. Then, like, that's a bit too extreme. But do you know what I mean? I was looking for someone a little bit more grounded that's equally attractive. But like, do you know what I mean? Someone where
I would have liked Jodie. Jodie Comer.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Again, I think she would have been a
strong choice.
Equally fits that part because it's. You know, it is the thing of like she's got to be hot, kind of thing. Yeah. And where I look at that is, I'm like, you got to remember it. Neymar just straight up kidnaps her and is like, "You're my wife now.
Yeah,
you're me now, right?" And I'm like, "You can't be no." Like, I'm sorry,
he's a fish person, man. He would have kidnapped any
regular. You can't be no regular, girl, right? You gotta be the double take type of woman. You gotta be like, I look at you twice because damn, not, you know.
I know, man. They probably don't have a lot of like fit blondes under the sea, innit? There's not a lot of sunlight, and you know, it's a bit blue and gloomy.
And Ben Grimm.
You might bump into Amber Heard, maybe, but...
Ben Grimm, the more I see of this person, the more I think the only person who I would have truly thought about, if I had creative control, if I was in charge and they were like, okay, cool, you know, even if they kept the cost exactly how it is, as much as I said, you know, Pedro's not my guy, if they had everyone the same and said, you can change one person, I wouldn't change Reed. I'd change Ben. There's one person, only one person, who I'm like, yep, you're my Ben. John Felix Anthony Cena.
John Cena. No.
Yep, Mr. You Can't See Me. John
Cena. I could see it. I actually had him as a second choice on the list, but I didn't want to go through a big list because I already did like... Yeah. Bruce
straight up is John Cena. He is physically, he's already imposing. He's a former wrestler, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's imposing. He's a muscle man. He has great comedic timing and great comedy chops. He can actually dramatically act. You know, we hardly ever see it, but he can do it. And I think, you know, and the thing is, if you see what his personality is like outside of like being John Cena, you notice that he is a guy who's like, you know, John Cena, he speaks Mandarin. John Cena is like, has done more Make-A-Wish appearances than any other human, right? He is someone who he can give you heart. He could also dash you across a room with little effort, right? And he's got a voice on him. And I can imagine him being like,
it's clobbering time.
Cena. Right? Yeah.
No, it's a good shout. It's a good shout.
Yeah.
All right. Right. Let's get on to what we were going to talk about in this podcast. Yes. And that's Doctor Doom. Okay. So casting Doctor Doom. And Neil, as the aforementioned guru on Fantastic Four and your passion project. Yeah. Let's talk about some of your casting suggestions for Dr. Von Doom.
Right. Well, my casting suggestion for Victor Von Doom, I will limit it down. I have a lot of people who would have got it.
Okay.
But I will limit it to 20. Limit it to 6.
Okay.
Right. And the reason I'm limited to these six people is because three of them are voice only.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
So I'll get my voice only out of the way. Kenneth Branagh.
Okay.
Lawrence Fishburne. I know he was the voice of Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four, but that Fishburne voice.
He's also in Ant-Man, isn't he?
Yeah, but just his voice.
It's just his voice. Oh, okay.
I can see that. And Christoph Waltz.
I have him. I had him on
my You'll see that my casting, when I get to the physicals, you'll see that my casting is made up of European actors who have a European accent.
Okay. So do you see... So when you say voice only, do you not expect to see Victor's face then? Like...
He'd be in.
How do you expect that to happen?
The whole time we see him, he'd be in his suit. Maybe you might do a little flashback or something, and then maybe you got to think about who you cast. But I'm like, when I thought voice only, I was like, okay, if you only ever saw Doom in his costume, steel suit, Green Hood,
who's you're going for the full Darth Vader effect, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're going for, get the right actor for before incident, and then you're creating a character just by being short, you know,
because physicality.
Yeah, I get it. And you know what? That is a way to go. 100% that's a way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably the best way to go, in some cases. I didn't think about Doom like that, but now that you said it, that's a good one, cost effective as well, because it's a voice role.
Yeah.
And second of all,
I mean, look at James Spader for Ultron. It can work.
So those were my three voice onlys.
Okay.
My three physical performances is, firstly, I've got Till Schweiger.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's in Inglourious Basterds. And then it came that after him, I had Travis Fimmel, who's the main character in Vikings.
Okay. Yep.
Right. And then, whilst I know I said I would keep it to six, but these two were... I basically chose three people who are all brothers. So from that, you should fairly have an
understanding. Skarsgård. Yeah.
Skarsgård, right? Alexander, Bill, and Gustav. You pick any one of them three.
Right,
Alexander probably loses out the most because he loses out the most for one of the reasons where he could have technically been best, which is he's real pretty looking, he's real good looking. We're gonna bury you under metal mask, and makeup, right? They ain't gonna see you, but maybe if they see you beforehand, you know, that explosion, then it's a thing of. It adds to the character. Because if you're good looking and then you wind up behind a mask, you're going to be vexed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, you know, it's, Victor Von Doom, you know, he had a thing for Sue. Right. It's a lot of these, just to say, a lot of these villains had a thing for Sue Storm and they couldn't get her because she was renewed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those Skarsgård boys. Like I said, so that kind of, removes Alexander. Bill, who's Pennywise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than the fact that all of them are super tall. He is he is monstrously tall.
Yeah. Right? He was great in John Wick as the bad guy, right? John Wick 4.
Yeah. And I'm just like, because I just see them. I mean, if he wasn't already part of the MCU, it would have been, Daniel Bruhl?
Yeah, didn't Bill Skarsgård do the alien creature in Eternal?
I mean,
I think he did that, didn't he?
I mean, well, that's the thing. You never saw his physical face.
No, because he was an alien, but I think he did like the motion capture and the voice for it. So,
Well, that's fine, because Gemma Chan's popped up in two different Marvel films, so I'm like, we good to
go. Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, he was Crow, so he was Crow in it. But again, you don't see his face. Yeah. It's just his voice. So it's and it was a different voice. It wasn't just, he's a very good voice actor. Okay, cool. All right. Lee, who are your thoughts for Dr. Doom?
Yeah, so originally, well, I thought the same about Doctor Doom, like Neil said. I thought, well, it could be like a bit of a Thanos thing where, though I didn't do voice actors, I still just come up with physical actors. But I did think that might be a possibility they might go with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, looking at this, I thought Michael Shannon.
Yes, very good actor.
I like what he did with Zod, and I just thought he comes across very powerful. I just liked what he did with that. So
he's fantastic in Broadwalk Empire. You know, just brilliant. Yeah, very, very good actor.
Yeah. Adam Driver.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rumors about him potentially. There was talk of him playing Reed Richards at some point, I think. And then it was Doom, and I was like, if out of the two, I'd always prefer him as a Doom. I know it's a Reed Richards.
I'm just like, it's basically characters that can do evil quite well.
I had Kylo Ren as well. Also had one of Neil, I had one of Neil's picks as my top pick, but I'll wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did have Alexander Skarsgård. And I know obviously Cillian Murphy's been put out there, and I wouldn't be thinking, yes. I think he'd probably do a good job. That's it, really. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, Cillian Murphy. There's been a lot of talk online recently about Cillian Murphy and Henry Cavill, either one of those two potentially playing Doom. And the rumor is now that Henry Cavill has signed up to a project with the MCU or is about to, but it's been very undisclosed what that role is. Now, it could be something that we discussed this on our last episode with Chris, because we were talking about Warhammer 40K and Henry Cavill's involvement in that. And it's very much a case of it could be something like Doom, where he's probably not going to be much in the Fantastic Four movie. It might be a little bit in terms of whether they're going to have him go up with them and be part of that experiment, which gives them their powers, if they're going to go through that origin story, which I believe they will. But then he'd only need to appear in drabs over the next few years as they build up to him. So it would allow him over the next few years to do his Warhammer stuff, because he's producing and starring in it. And he can come in, dip out, and just do odd days filming here and there. It would make sense. But then at the same time, it could be very much a one and done, like a Captain Britain, which is going to show up in a particular movie and then not be such a big played out part. So there is potential there. But Cillian Murphy, yeah, you know, he's done a lot of projects over the last few years, you know, sort of under the radar. Oppenheimer's kind of put him on top. I expect him to take home the Oscar. So if they could get that recent Oscar winner to be part of the MCU, it'd be a big coup for Marvel, I think. It just depends if he has the temperament as an actor to be part of that kind of ongoing project. I'm not sure he's that type of actor. I mean, he was in Batman, but again, he was very much a one movie arc. But I'm not just sure if he's someone who would sign up to a bunch of projects. That's just obviously me anticipating it, you know, the type of actor he is. But we'd have to wait and see, you know. Sasha, what were your picks?
For Doom. Okay, so Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only thing against him is that he's been in Doctor Strange. If he wasn't in Doctor Strange, he would have been my number one choice. So this is someone that I would have really loved to have been Doom, but I'm throwing him on the scrap heap because I had to go to the drawing board, right? So fuck you guys for fucking up the perfect guy for me.
Waste
to the scrap heap. Let's try again. Okay, so with Mads Mikkelsen, and I know Chris would have felt the same way.
Yeah.
So next up, like Neil said, he may not have the physicality, but Christoph Waltz, man.
Yeah.
As an actor, he would have rip-roared that whole, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. His performance commands, and that's what we need from Doom. We need a good performer. Everything else could be, you know what I mean, faked or whatever. So that's fine. My next choice is Viggo Mortensen. I think he would have been a spectacular Doom.
Yes. Yeah.
He can command presence. He's definitely, you know, he's got that kind of heritage as well, you know. So, Cillian Murphy, mainly because he's my guy. I think he would kill it personally. But I never thought of him before the announcements that have been coming out recently. So when I heard that, I was like, you know what? Yeah. You know, I can see it. And that's totally due to stuff he's done in the past, mainly Peaky Blinders, because he commands presence up and down that show. So, you know, and now I can't pronounce this guy's name, but I do believe you guys know him as the Hand from, what's it? Game of Thrones.
Nicolaj Coster-Waldau.
That's the one, that geezer.
Yes.
I think he'd be fantastic.
Jaime Lannister. Yeah.
Jaime Lannister. Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, Adam Driver is in there, but he's behind Jaime Lannister. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought of him in the role until the casting rumors and all of that for Reed. And I was like, nah, he'd make a better Doom than a Reed. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
But, you know, he's not our Reed. So who knows? Maybe he could be our Doom. And again, with people I never thought of that have been mentioned, Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, this is more a physical thing with him rather than him acting. You got to see, for me, all I see is Superman. Yeah, he's been in other stuff like Mission Impossible and Sherlock Holmes and stuff, but he hasn't impressed me performance-wise outside of the Man of Steel. I'll be straight up.
When he was sort of in the casting, when it was announced, I thought, Henry Cavill was my
car. Yeah, yeah. But the reason why I'll give him a shot if he was announced is because this is a meaty role for any actor, and it's make or break. You know what I mean? And if he fumbled Doom, sorry, guys, because there's a lot of Henry Cavill fans that think he walks on Earth. But if he slayed it, it would literally be, yo, I got this shit, and I am. I want to see Henry Cavill be in other kinds of movies rather than big movies. I want him to flex his acting chop. So I want him in a Tarantino movie. I want him in a Scorsese movie. I want, you know what I mean? So,
although I'd see him in the Knives Out. See what you're getting in the Knives Out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I want to see him in a performance. And I feel with Doom, you're either Christoph Waltz or a Viggo Mortensen or a Cillian Murphy chewing the scenery, or, you know what I mean, or you're not. Now, my next two are my top two picks. One of them so left field. And this guy's definitely got a presence, but performance, maybe not. And his age, he's a bit on the older side, kind of thing. However, he doesn't look ancient, if that makes sense. Dolph Lundgren.
It's different. But do you know what, Sash? What's interesting is you say he's on the older side.
Yeah.
He's only a year older than Viggo Mortensen.
Okay.
And he's a year younger than Christoph Waltz.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So they're all the same age.
When I think of Drago, I just think of Rocky.
You go back to like the 80s, right? And you think, he must be like 80 now, right? Yeah, and it's like, no. Totally. He's like 66. So,
And also, it's kind of like, I just love seeing Dolph Lundgren in films. Okay. Again, kind of thing. It's more that than him being the right guy, to be honest. Was to dumb it down.
Yeah, I mean, he's not bad. You know, when I think of him in Aquaman and stuff, but
you know what? I see one thing happening that would make him a damn good selection. At this moment it's a rumor, so if it's true and it's technically a spoiler, my bad. If it's a rumor, then there you go. Is I've heard rumors that Fantastic Four is going to be set in the 60s.
Yes.
And what I think works well is if you have like a young guy who looks very much like Dolph Lundgren play the younger Doom who knows Reed prior to the going up in space.
Oh, and then
what you have is you have the Fantastic Four go, you don't have Doom go. Doom has his accident, as he has in the original iteration where he's just on Earth, has his accident and disappears.
So he ages and the other ones don't.
Yeah, and then when, if it is set in the 60s, when you inevitably have the Fantastic Four dumped in present day, your older Doom is Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The last, my number one choice, Alexander Skarsgård. Hands down. Just hands down.
A lot worse.
No question. No question. <Yeah. laughs> I don't care that he's in the Eternals, man. If I can't have Mads,
no, it's not him. I think it's
no, Bill Skarsgård was in Eternals, but again, you don't see his face.
Yeah.
But you want Alexander, do you? Okay.
Who was the one in the Vikings?
Gustav is the one in Vikings.
Is that who I'm on about? No.
Which is it, the one in It and John Wick? Which one is it you want?
Alexander.
Alexander's the one who's in Tarzan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
All right. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's not in that any yeah. MCU. So you're
good. Oh, okay. We're good.
I was saying Bill Skarsgård's also Zeitgeist in Deadpool, isn't he? Deadpool 2.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Alexander's like in The Northman and stuff like that as well. So, yeah. Okay.
So, what about Mole Man? What about Mole Man?
Hang on. Got Mole Man right. Well, yeah, no, we'll get to Mole Man. I'm going to give my shots. okay, so yeah, no, I'm really digging what you guys said, absolutely. So, and just touching on the fact, you know, this is something when we spoke about the podcast 3 years ago, I very much wanted the Fantastic Four set in the 60s, and that was my idea. So they were going to be, the Baxter family were going to be competing against NASA to get into space, and it's going to be about the space race in the 60s. They get into space, get sucked into a wormhole, into the negative zone, and they're stuck there for the duration of the movie, and they come out and they're in present day. And that's very much how I kind of had it played out. And I'll touch on a couple of the villains that I had in my original thought about how to introduce them, because I've tried to cast those as well. So Dr. Doom. Yeah, so we've already mentioned Henry Cavill and Cillian Murphy. Henry Cavill, not for me, because again, like Sasha said, he seems like a really nice guy, but I haven't seen enough from him acting-wise for me to be like, you can lead the MCU as the villain for the next 5 to 10 years. I don't see that, because for me, Dr. Doom is so essential, especially what's happened with Kang and that character. Dr. Doom is more important than ever. Cillian Murphy, I think he can definitely do a job. I don't think he's necessarily going to be signed to into a project of this size, but I could be wrong. I had Nicolas Coster-Waldau as well. Game of Thrones, The Last Thing He Told Me, you know, really solid actor. And definitely he was a higher choice, I think, 3 years ago than he is now. I also had Rami Malek. Again, I wasn't thinking necessarily physical, but from an acting point of view, Bohemian Rhapsody, No Time to Die, Mr. Robot. I could definitely see him bringing gravitas to that. I definitely could see that as well.
I thought about him. But
see, I think I prefer him to Cillian Murphy. Personally, for this type of movie, that's just me.
Cillian forgets it, man. Because Cillian, if given the right role, Cillian will chew the fucking. Seriously, if you haven't seen Peaky Blinders, like all of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Trust me, man. Like he won me over for James Bond. He won me over for everything. It's no wonder he's getting the Oscar for bloody Oppenheimer, man. So
My number one pick, if it wasn't because he's already been in the MCU, would be Ben Mendelsohn. So he played Talos, Secret Invasion. This guy, he's also in Star Wars, Rogue One, Ready Player One. And I first saw him, I think I recognized him with Bloodline on Netflix, which he's amazing in. And he, out of anybody I've ever seen, I've never seen an actor so passionate about a character than him and Doom. And he's very much come out and said, really, now my character's been killed off, I want to play Doom. He said recently, I'd almost give my eyes and teeth to play Dr. Doom. I think Dr. Doom is the great unread Marvel character that could and should be done. He literally said that a couple of days ago. And when he was being interviewed as part of Secret Invasion, he went on this whole thing about Dr. Doom, and he said, Victor Von Doom is the greatest single character in the MCU, bar none. And he went to this whole spiel about the character, the importance of him, the backstory. You know, And it's for me, you know, it's like he's Talos, but it's like he was a shapeshifter anyway. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like I can live with that and have him as Doom, and that wouldn't be an issue because, you know, it's like he morphed into this guy from another universe, then took on. I don't really care. And well, like somebody Neil's who there, I think
you could just get someone to play a younger version, and then he yeah. just plays the older version in the yeah. scene.
Yeah, yeah. And I just think for someone who loves that character so much, I mean, he's 54 as well, so he's like only 10 years older than like Pedro or whatever it is. So, but you know, I see him being sucked into the negative zone, but potentially coming out later. So they will come back to Earth, and then he's stuck there further 10 years, and then comes out and he's just that little bit older or whatever, or the other way around. So he comes out a little bit before. So that can very much play into it. But for me, if I can't pick him, actually, my number one pick is Billy Crudup.
Oh, so he was Watchmen.
Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen.
Ooh. And if you, a Flash.
Yeah. And if Justice you watch yeah. Justice, if you watch him in the morning show on Apple TV, this man is cold, he's calculated, he's a demon businessman. And it was watching this series that I saw that and was like, you know what? This man can talk. He goes on epic monologues in this show, and the way he breaks people down, and it's just he holds scenes together so immensely. I would say if you haven't got time to watch the morning show, just go watch Billy Crudup scenes in the morning show. Just type that into YouTube and search it. He is brilliant. And that series, especially the last series where his character is much more prevalent, he sold it for me. And he's actually my number one choice if I can't have Ben Mendelsohn. So Ben Mendelsohn, if I had creative control, would be my number one. Second, Billy Crudup, a fantastic actor. All right, let's move on. So I think a lot of people have been speaking about this recently. We're talking about having Mole Man as potentially being the villain in the Fantastic Four first movie. He's not in my original pitch, but I think he was like their first villain in the comics, and it's kind of paying homage to that. So I'm going to just go off mine. I've kind of got three potentially. The lesser known one, I'll go in preference of order. I would have had someone like Toby Jones, but obviously he played Arnim Zola in the MCU. Mm. But I think he's a fantastic character actor. Somebody who's a little bit more out of left field, Rick Hoffman. He was Lewis Litt in Suits. I don't know if you've ever watched Suits, but he plays Lewis. And I just think he'd be amazing as Mole Man. But again, that's just outside casting. The other two that I had, second place was Andy Serkis. I just think this man can do no wrong, especially when it comes to these kind of character actors. He's phenomenal. But my number one pick would be Paul Giamatti. I think he would smash this role, absolutely just smash it. And especially after, you know, it's between him and Murphy for the Oscar this year for Best Actor. I personally preferred Paul Giamatti's role. I hope he wins it, but I think it's Cillian's year. I think he's going to take it. But yeah, Giamatti, he'd be my number one pick for Mole Man. So,
I've got chills Sasha. Thinking about that. That's a good
Sasha, Mole Man, who have you got?
I'm with you, Ken. I like Paul Giamatti for Mole Man. Mm-hmm. But then going up 360, I like Timothy Small as well.
Timothy Small?
British actor, fat guy, in a lot of stuff.
Oh, Timothy Spall, right? Okay, yes. Yeah.
If you want, but or even Danny DeVito, who knows?
Danny DeVito, yeah, that's an easy fan cast, I think.
Yeah.
So Timothy Spall, he's one of those faces that you know.
He's in Harry Potter. He's in a couple of the Harry Potter and Planet.
Yeah, he's in Harry Potter. A lot of TV series, films, a lot of more smaller roles, but yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. It says the character's a martial artist. I don't know the character. So we'll have to know martial arts.
Is he a martial artist?
Is Mole Man a martial artist?
I'm just going by the looks. I don't remember no kung fu. I know he had minions of people, but
technically.
Oh, okay, in that case, Keanu Reeves.
Charlie, I'm fat. Screw it.
Powers and abilities, genius level intellect. Harvey was a genius, capable of using and understanding alien technology. It was his mastery over this tech that he became ruler of the Moloids, master martial artist. The Mole Man is an expert fighter and is skilled in wielding his bow staves.
Chow Yun Fat. Okay. Done. Chow Yun Fat. Chow Yun Fat or wait, Sammo. Sammo Hung. Sammo Hugger's mobile man. We'll get all martial law on your ass, man.
Okay, Neil, who do you have for mole man?
Jessen.
Yes! Jessen. For real.
Jessen. Our friend Jessen. But in failing that, my choices.
For mole man, you heard it here first.
Yeah. Yeah,
my choices. Obviously, Danny DeVito would always be is just an easy fan pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like being serious, I only have three people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you guys, I had Andy Serkis in there,
mm-hmm.
but the two people are people that haven't been named.
Mm-hmm.
One would be Jackie Earle Haley.
Mm.
So he's in Watchmen, Freddy Krueger in the remake.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
I also had him for another villain, but
mm-hmm.
in there. And Mark Hamill. Good old Luke Skywalker.
Ooh. Yeah, I could understand Mark Hamill. I thought about it, yeah.
So okay, yeah, those cool. my guys.
Lee, did you have anyone cast for Mole Man?
No.
No. All right. Cool.
I don't really know many of the actual villains.
No, I'm not. I'm not that big on these ones. I had to look up because I actually don't know them that well. So,
oh, really,
and the other person I cast was
remember the first three, like Doom, obviously.
Yeah.
But like Mole Man, only because he's the first villain they fight in.
Yeah, they literally land on Earth.
Yeah,
and then
yeah, because when they land, they literally. They land on Earth. Obviously, it's like the Pacific somewhere. I'm assuming. Yeah. I can't remember. It's been a while. Mm. Am I right? And literally, where they land, because you know, space shuttles, they'll land in the Pacific. They land on the Pacific Island, and Mole Man rules the island with his underlings and shit. That's why in Incredibles, there's like a little throwback because you've got the Underminer, which is totally Mole Man. So whenever I think of Mole Man, I actually think of the Incredibles.
Incredibles.
They totally spoofed it really, really well.
Yeah.
And after him, you've got Puppet Master. Because Puppet Master is when you meet Alicia, who is Ben Grimm's lover in the series and stuff, because she's blind and it's her, is it her dad's?
Yeah,
her stepdad? Mm-hmm. No, one or two, her dad or her stepdad is the Puppet Master and he controls people with toy figurines, like clay figures of people. And he'll basically, once he makes like a copy of a voodoo doll of you, he'll be able to control like what you do and shit like that. And the Fantastic Four got to give him a stern talking to. And
which is funny because they put Alicia in both
the films, the Tim Story films, Black Girl,
Kerry Washington.
I reckon we would have got Puppet Master. Had those films straight up because the thing was Tim Story was a fan. He just had a weak script. That's all it was. Mm-hmm. You know what my problem was with that movie? It's just that the incident that makes them world famous, they caused in the damn first place. And that was down to bad writing. It's not like Superman where he's just like, you know, saves Lois Lane from a helicopter. That is epic. All right. They needed that. Yeah, you know, I mean, they needed that save the city when people don't know who the hell they are and like, who, you know what I mean? Rather than, oops. Yeah, you know I mean, and then his fiance is like, oh, I know you saved the city, but you're ugly now. Here's your ring back. You know what I mean? It's like, get the hell out of here with this shit, man.
That's like she gets killed in The Walking Dead, so I'm all right with that.
Yeah,
redemption. Okay, so the other two roles that I cast was I had Red Ghost in my original pitch. So Red Ghost is a scientist, a sort of like part of the former Soviet Union. So I had him being sent up by Russia as part of the space race and him getting trapped in the negative zone as well. And he has the ability to command apes. So I thought there was two people for this. I mean, one was Andy Serkis again, because I think like, he can just play anything. But I was like, oh, he's already done the monkey thing, so maybe give him a break. So I had Christoph Waltz, because I think he is such a talented actor, but because of his age, I was like, this can be more of a one-and-done kind of role. And I think he'd walk that easily. But somebody else who I really enjoyed, because if this is somebody you want kind of reoccurring, is Vincent Cassel So he's the French actor. Yeah, and he's just in the recent French version of D'Artagnan. Sorry, The Three Musketeers. And I think, was he in Ocean's 13? I think it was as well. 12 or 13, something like that. So, yeah, for me, he's a very, very talented actor, and I'd love to see him. Mm-hmm. The other person that, again, I don't know too much about, but I know he's an important character of the series, is Annihilus. So I had two persons of interest for this. So one, again, was Bill Skarsgård, because I thought this would be a little bit more motion capture. And the other one I had was Jason Isaacs, so like Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
So Lucius Malfoy's dad. Yeah, Lucius. So I had those two for him. So what other characters did you cast, guys? Shout off.
Well, with your guy, with Red Ghost, I was going for Yuri Kolonoskov. He's in Hunter Killer.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Okay, good
Six
shout.
Underground as well. Tenet.
Yeah.
Hitman's Bodyguard. Yeah, that guy. And that's it. I was kind of going for someone that kind of looks like fucking, what's his name? The Lollipop Detective. What's his name? Kojak.
Kojak.
I was kind of going for Kojak, but like,
well, somebody else who I had actually thought of with Red Ghost was actually Jorma Tamila. He was in Sisu, the main character from Sisu.
You know what? I got one better. The Ultimate Russian. Just shave his head bald. Bring back Ivan Drago. If you can't
Dolph
get to
again.
You can get the
Red Ghost. Yeah, or Gary Oldman. He can pull up a badass Gary Russian Oldman. Accent. Yeah.
Yeah. Gary All right, Oldman.
Cool. Any other characters, Sasha?
No, I'm out of fan four stick. That's
okay,
Neil
cool.
Now.
Neil.
Puppet Master.
Oh, Puppet Master, okay.
Yeah, and that was the other role that I had for Jackie O'Haley.
Right, okay.
Or Bryan Cranston.
Mm. Nice. Yeah, I can see that. Solid.
Well, on the subject of Fantastic Four, and before we move on, it's inevitable. Listen, Chris, this is my message to you, my friend. Doesn't matter who Doom is. He's not gonna be nothing special because Magneto wins all, okay? Magneto eating for breakfast, so it doesn't matter. And that's my speech.
Sasha, yeah, you heard me. That's right. Yeah. He's such a shit stirrer.
No, fuck Magneto.
No, fuck Doom.
I tell you what, we're going to have to do one of these podcasts. We're going to have Team Doom versus Team Magneto.
As straight as it is, Dr. Doom is such a badass that his first love is a woman named Valeria. Mm-hmm. Reed Richards and Sue Storm have a daughter. Her name is Valeria. Go look up why. And then tell me, and then talk to me about Eric Lencher and his bollocks controlling metal. Right? We'll find out why. And then talk
some
to
home,
me about
homework for you, watchers and listeners.
Right? Homework for you. Don't test some bitches, man. In fact, I ain't even gonna let you go find out. I'm gonna tell you why. Sue has a problem with the pregnancy. Valeria will die. The only place they can go, the only person with the technology to save her is Doom. And Doom says, I'll do it under one condition. You name her Valeria. Said, not a problem. When everything's cool and done, they're like, why was that your one condition? Says, simple. So every single time you call your daughter's name, you're going to remember she lives because of Doom. Right? Nice. I want to hear nothing about Eric Lencher. Right?
Yeah, Doom right? just needs to get over that shit. That's
Doom was like, all right, listen,
like,
you know,
Eric
Doom
Lencher
like,
has
oh,
proper trauma, man.
You can't, you know, I can't have the girl, I can't have her, but cool. I might not get the girl, but you're gonna remember Doom every time you look at your family.
Lee, didn't you have a casting idea for Silver Surfer?
Yeah, had a couple. So I was thinking Miles Teller.
Yeah.
And
I can see that.
Dev Patel.
Ooh, okay.
Mm.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm
after that Monkey Man trailer. I can see him in a couple of roles, boy.
Yeah.
With Silver Surfer, to be honest, I take Neil's Doom approach.
I could do that. Yeah.
What's that?
I was thinking the same thing about Doom, is that they could do it like Thanos, you know, just
yeah. So like they did in the OO movie. To be honest, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I like Lawrence Fishburne as the voice. I thought he was perfect, to be honest. And to be fair, him as Norrin Rad, sure, why not? But that's just me. Like, that's the only A-list Marvel character now that hasn't been put to screen. I want my Silver Surfer movie more than I want my Fantastic Four movie, to be fair.
I mean, in terms of...
You need the Fantastic Four to get to the Surfer. So
yeah, well, in terms of actually the motion capture, I would probably go back to Doug Jones. So Doug Jones actually did it for Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer, and he does loads of stuff. You would have seen him in loads of stuff and not even known it's him. You know, he's got a good voice actor as well. There's no reason why he couldn't do it, but yeah, him.
Yeah.
But I also had potentially for a voice, I thought Rami Malek would actually be a really good voice, because you want that very monotone voice from your Silver Surfer, not too emotional. A lot of fan casting is wanting Keanu Reeves, but for me personally, I don't see it.
No.
I can understand why, but I don't think he's the guy. I think because Keanu Reeves has
Cillian Murphy do it as a voice role? Cillian Murphy, could he do it as a voice role?
Surprisingly enough, he's got a bit too much emotion in his voice.
Okay.
I think the reason why I just really love Fishburne's performance, man, in that the whole Darth Vader approach.
Yeah, that voice needs to resonate power.
Yeah, that's right, and he does perfect. The only person that could top him is a guy that's probably gonna leave us soon because he's old, and that's James Earl Jones. If you had James Earl Jones as the Surfer, you can't get better than that. But if you had to go, I would actually no. To be honest, who did I say? Lawrence Fishburne. You know who else? Denzel. But not in his gangster kind of thing. He's more kind of monotone, like Macbeth and all those other films that he does.
Yeah, no, I think you're right with Lawrence Fishburne. I could definitely get
or David Palmer, President David Palmer.
Yeah, or Keith David. You can't go wrong with Keith David.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Keith David.
Yeah, he was just Hordak in the new series of He-Man. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So I would definitely have him, and I love him as the president in Rick and Morty. It's just genius. So, yeah. Okay. Cool. Any other casting for Fantastic Four? We good? All right. Well, there we go. So that's our Fantastic Four. So we delved quite deeply into the certified casting. We've given you our ideas for Doom, Mole Man, Red Ghost, and others. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Okay. What do you think of the current casting of the Fantastic Four? Did they get it right? Concerns? Anything you're excited for? Who would you cast instead? And if you had creative control, who would you cast as Victor Von Doom in the MCU? A really key, important role that Marvel and Disney need to get right. Gentlemen, before we leave today, anything else that you guys want to shout about?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Doom sucks. Magneto will rule. And that's it.
to me, my X-Men. Okay. Well, look, thank you very much for listening and watching. We really appreciate you. As always, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe on our YouTube channel. And you can see the video version on YouTube and Spotify, and the audio version on any of our podcast platforms. Whichever podcast platform you use, we will be there. And that's pretty much it from us for this week. So until next time, peace out.
Peace.
Gentlemen, Let's broaden our minds.
This is the way.
This is the way.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Were you rushing or were you dragging?
That's what she said.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Say my name.
I am the father.
Oh, chills. Literal chills.
It was number 5. Number 5 killed my brother.
Oh my God, I forgot about that part.